Right now, I'd like to bring up Brent Parker. He's going to share a devotional with us.
I'll start with a little background and why this devotional is so important to me. When I was attending jewelry manufacturing school in 1993, I would kept a bottle of aspirin at my workbench for when I would get a headache. And some of my classmates started to comment to me, you know, you're taking off a lot of those. You're probably taking more than you should. And it's at that point that I realized I was had a headache that wouldn't go away. And so I was diagnosed with chronic migraine, which means a migraine that just doesn't go away. So for 32 years, I've had a migraine. I've only had one headache in my entire adult life. Unfortunately, it's been 32 years long. So I have to really adapt my life around. You'll see that I didn't attend some of the sessions. If you notice, maybe I was absent. It's because I was in the room trying to recuperate, making sure I was ready for this morning. So there's a bit of a background for why this is so important to me. My theme verse is, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time as unworthy of comparison to the glory that is to be revealed to us." That's Romans 8:18. There is a scene in the classic comedy Monty Python and the Holy Grail where the Black Knight must prevent anyone from crossing a certain bridge by engaging them in combat. Unfortunately, this is the very bridge that King Arthur must cross to continue in his quest for the Holy Grail. The sword fight begins, and it's soon clear that the knight is outmatched as he loses an arm to a mighty blow from the king. The knight, however, is unfazed and continues the fight. The king expresses amazement to the knight, telling him he's lost, he's missing an arm. The knight responds to the king with the now timeless words, "'Tis but a scratch." King Arthur reluctantly continues the fight, systematically dismembering the knight. With each lost limb, the knight responds with another dismissive phrase. The scene of absurdist British comedy is seen from the perspective of King Arthur. This foolish knight was delusional to keep fighting. The viewer's perspective shows further pointlessness in this battle. The bridge is little more than a wooden plank over a rivulet of water around a foot wide and an inch or so deep. King Arthur could have easily avoided the confrontation simply by bypassing the knight's bridge, going a little way up or downstream, and stepping over the water. From Arthur's perspective, the knight was absurd. From the viewer's perspective, both men were absurd. The battle was unnecessary. From Monty Python's perspective, the absurdity was the point. But have you considered the perspective of the Black Knight? What was he thinking? Now, John Cleese and Graham Chapman, the men who portrayed the Black Knight and King Arthur, and are also members of Monty Python, might well consider me absurd for finding a biblical life lesson in their film. But this is what I gleaned. Perhaps the knight was thinking of his master, the one who appointed him to this task. Perhaps this master was great and generous, promising to reward his servant well beyond any injury suffered. I submit that this perspective is vital for living as a follower of Christ. It is clear that every person suffers through life on this earth. We live in a fallen world and experience the consequences of our own sin. God compounds this for his children by promising two things. One, he disciplines those he loves. You can find that in Hebrews 12:14-11. And two, all who follow Christ will suffer persecution. Reference John 15:18-20. However, God also promises to reward his faithful children far beyond what they suffer. And he referenced Romans 8:18, Matthew 5:11-12, 1 Corinthians 3:10-14, Colossians 3:23-24, and the entirety of Hebrews 11. And there are so many more verses that speak to this. It's just incredible. You never rarely find God giving a command without having a promise of reward for following it, particularly if it's a sacrificial command. So then what's your perspective? When suffering comes, and it will come, from little annoyances such as a paper cut all the way to injury, disease, physical or sexual assault, persecution, chronic pain, loss of loved ones, injustice, death, and on and on and on, what is your response? Do you look to Jesus, to the promises of God, and say, just like the Black Knight did, 'tis but a scratch? It's taken me a while to pick this up, but I'm glad I have. I'm hoping this brings to your consideration be a willingness to say 'tis but a scratch, regardless of what you're going through. What you use this as a bit of a mental note for you when you're encountering suffering. It says, just how good is heaven going to have to be for me to look back at this and say it was just a scratch? More than you can imagine is what eternity promises. Better than anything you've ever experienced before is what that eternity will be. And it is eternal. It's forever. That's why Peter refers to it as this momentary suffering. Like it's just a brief time. Well, it is a brief time in a long-term perspective. So, gentlemen, I thank you very much. That's what I've got for you today. Thanks again. Thank you. Yes?
I've got a friend that's suffering greatly with bone cancer. I've got a good friend that's suffering with bone cancer. And in confidence, he's suffered so much, so long, that he's told me he's got a gun beside his bed and he's thinking about using it. Did that ever come? Did you ever consider suicide?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's something I forgot to mention. About 2012 is about the time they started filling 90-day prescriptions. And so I had a prescription to help me sleep called Ambien. And so one night, I took, boy, it must have been 45 to 60 days worth of Ambien and went to sleep and woke up like nothing had happened by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Absolutely nothing. It's like I hadn't even taken them. No side effects whatsoever. So yeah, it did approach me, and God saved me from myself. Not saying he's going to save your friend, but he saved me from myself. And just encourage your friend, saying they're just, it seems like forever for now, but it's a brief time. It's a brief time. And it'll be worth it to you in eternity when God rewards you for patiently enduring the suffering that he's put into your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? Yes. Let's get a mic back.
Yeah, so lots of times you want to encourage someone and you really don't know how. What's the thing that people do that's most encouraging to you?
I think just when they should just consider it of what I'm going through. You know, they don't mind when they come over to my place and my windows are covered in black plastic to keep out the sun. Their consideration, their accommodation of me is always a really big thing for me.
Is there anything that people are trying to help and they say or do, but it really makes it worse?
Well, you know, I'm always anxious to hear something that where they found something that's been effective. But the problem is that at this point, I've gone through just about everything. I've got a list that's a page long, three rows on the page of medications that I've been prescribed over the years that haven't worked. And so on one hand, I want to hear what they have to say about what they've found that's been effective. On the other hand, it can be a little disheartening when it's something I've tried and maybe even tried more than once. Anything else? Yes, sir. Bill, let's get him a microphone.
Is there a verse or a few verses that have really helped you persevere?
Well, that the main verse for me is that Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time as unworthy of comparison to the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Thank you. Hi, Brett. This is Lucas.
Hi, Lucas.
Yeah. When you see Jesus one day, what will be your first thing to say to him in light of the suffering as a gift he's giving you?
Thank you. That's what I'll say. I'll say thank you. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thanks, Brent.